This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
The night sky for March 2015. Well, that beautiful part of the heavens with the constellations of Orion, Taurus, Gemini and Canis Major is now setting towards the western horizon in the evening. Gemini is still relatively high up with its two bright stars, Castor and Pollux, the heads of the heavenly twins. Moving over to the east from Castor and Pollux is a rather empty part of the sky. It's the constellation of Cancer, but with binoculars you can see a rather lovely open cluster called the Beehive Cluster. But in fact there's an interloper this month, which is Jupiter. Carrying on eastwards, we come to Leo the Lion. Its bright star is Regulus. It's like a lion, the ones in Trafalgar Square, on their haunches, shall we say. Rising over the east is a bright star, Arcturus, at the bottom of the constellation Bootes. And coming high overhead in the evening is the Plough, part of the constellation Ursa Major. The two stars, Merik and Dubhe, are pointers towards the pole star, Polaris, very close to the north celestial pole. The other bright star you see high above Taurus is Capella, a yellow star in the constellation of Auriga. So still quite a nice lot of objects to look at in the sky, and we'll look at some of the planets we can see and the highlights of the month now. Well, Jupiter, having reached opposition on the 6th of February, is high in the south in late evening, so this is still a superb month to observe it, visible through much of the night. It starts March shining at magnitude minus 2.5, dropping slightly to minus 2.3 as the month progresses. Jupiter is still moving slowly westwards in retrograde motion towards the Beehive Cluster in Cancer. The size of Jupiter's disk falls slightly from 44.5 to 41.6 arc seconds. And with a small telescope, you should easily be able to see the equatorial bands in the atmosphere, sometimes the Great Red Spot, and up to four of the Galilean moons as they weave their way around it. Now Saturn rises around midnight this month, lying in the constellation of Scorpius, very close to the left-hand star that makes the fan that represents the head. Its diameter is increasing from 16.9 to 17.8 arc seconds, whilst its magnitude increases from plus 0.4 to plus 0.3. It'll be high enough in the south-southeast before dawn to make out the beautiful ring system, which has now opened out to about 25 degrees to the line of sight, virtually as open as they ever become. On March the 11th, Saturn halts its eastwards progress across the heavens as it starts its retrograde motion westwards. If only it were a little higher in the ecliptic. Sadly, its elevation never gets above 22 degrees, and so the atmosphere will hinder our view of this most beautiful planet. Perhaps a trip to the southern hemisphere is called for. Mercury. Well, Mercury, in fact, sinks into the sun's glare at the beginning of March. This is not a good month to observe it. Mars. Mars is moving eastwards relative to the stars, starting the month on the boundary between Pisces and Cetus, which it stays in for exactly one day. On the 30th of March, it moves across into Aries. It dims slightly from magnitude plus 1.3 to plus 1.4, and the angular disk falls in size from 4.3 to 4.0 arc seconds. It's about 100 times fainter than Venus. It's best observed as darkness falls, about 15 degrees above the western horizon, so you'll need to have a good low western horizon to see it. On the 11th of March, it'll be just 18 arc minutes above Uranus. Well, Venus is now an evening object, appearing a little higher in the sky each night as the month progresses. It shines at magnitude minus 4, so it'll be easy to spot 1 hour after sunset, and I've seen it a couple of times in the last few days towards the end of February, and it is totally obvious. There have been some lovely conjunctions with Mars as well. Its angular size increases a little from 12 to 14 arc seconds, whilst its gibbous phase wanes from 86% to 78%. it'll appear as a small dot blurred by atmospheric turbulence. Well, finally, what about some highlights of the month? Well, there's one that's the real highlight. I'll start with that. It's on March the 20th, around 9:30 UT. There'll be a partial eclipse of the sun, which, if it's clear, will be seen across the whole of the UK. You need to go to the Night Sky page on the website. Just search for Night Sky Jodrell Bank. And there I've got a chart, a map, really, of the UK, showing how much of the sun is covered and the time at which the maximum coverage will happen. Obviously, do not attempt to view the sun directly, even when it's very largely eclipsed. You could do irreparable damage to your eyes. Eclipse glasses can be bought from many suppliers, and these have special filters which reject the infrared light as well as the visible light, or much of it. It's the infrared that can harm our eyes. Other filters may appear to reduce the sun's brightness, but may let in the infrared. One thing you can do is to make a pinhole camera out of a shoebox. Have a pinhole at one end, perhaps a little hole pricked into a little piece of metal foil, and that can project an image of the sun onto the far end. That's quite a nice way to do it. I hope to be seeing the eclipse from a ship between Iceland and the Faroes, but to be totally honest, there's probably more chance of you seeing it here in the UK than in the path of totality, because the probability of cloud is about 80%. It should be a bit better here. So I do hope you have a chance to see it. The rest of the highlights, well, one thing I do is to give you a list on the Night Sky page of the times when the Great Red Spot is facing the Earth. So plus or minus an hour or so, you've got a good chance to see it. Between March the 1st and the 7th, after sunset, Venus and Mars lie within 5 degrees of each other. And in fact, on the 7th, Uranus will lie almost halfway between them. On March the 4th, Venus and Uranus are just 6 minutes apart. That's quite something. Now, Venus, at magnitude -4, is around 10,000 times brighter than Uranus, at magnitude +5.9. So, in fact, you probably would find it hard to spot Uranus in the glare of Venus. One thing to do is to use a high-power eyepiece with a telescope and just move Venus out of the field of view. That might give you a chance to see it. It's the closest planetary conjunction in 2015. Well, to end with, on March the 21st, you can find Mars with a very thin, waxing crescent moon, low above the western horizon, just after sunset. They're just 2 degrees apart. That would make a very nice imaging opportunity. And on the 22nd, the moon will have risen higher in the sky, and is actually very close to Venus, just 3 degrees away. So that's another nice imaging opportunity. So let's hope you see the eclipse or the partial eclipse and some other nice sights in the sky as well.
Thanks for that, Ian. And now for our southern hemisphere, here's Claire Brotherton with the night sky where you are.
Kia ora, and welcome to the March Jodcast from Carter Observatory in Wellington, New Zealand. As we approach the autumn equinox on the 21st of March, our evenings are quickly drawing in, with our nights lasting almost an hour and a half longer at the end of the month than the beginning. Whilst unfortunately this means that the colder winter weather is on its way, it also means that we have more time to get outside observing our beautiful southern skies. Our summer constellations of Canis Major, Orion and Taurus are now in our northwest evening skies. Sirius, or Takarua, the brightest star in our nighttime sky at magnitude -1.46, is almost overhead, with Rigel at magnitude 0.12 and Betelgeuse at around magnitude 0.42 below. Between these two stars are the three stars of Orion's belt, known as Tautou here in New Zealand. These stars point down towards the horizon, past a triangle of stars that form the head of Taurus the Bull. The brightest of these is Aldebaran, an orange giant star located 65 light-years away, marking the eye of the bull. With an apparent magnitude of around 0.85, Aldebaran is also one of the brightest stars in our nighttime sky, although not quite as bright as Sirius, Rigel or Betelgeuse. The fainter stars of the V are formed by the more distant Hyades star cluster. In Greek mythology, they are the half-sisters of the Pleiades. This cluster is estimated to be about 150 light-years away, and contains over 100 stars that are brighter than ninth magnitude. Below the V-shape and close to the horizon are the Pleiades themselves. Known as Matariki here in New Zealand, the rising of this group of stars for the first time before the sun around June marks the beginning of the Maori New Year. Canopus, the second brightest star in our nighttime sky, is just to the southwest of overhead, with bright blue Acina a little below. These two stars form a roughly equilateral triangle with the southern celestial pole, the point right above the south pole of the Earth, about which the sky appears to rotate as the Earth spins on its axis. Unlike the northern hemisphere, we have no nearby bright star to mark this point, so we have to estimate it from the surrounding stars. Perhaps the easiest way to find the southern celestial pole is to look for Crux, the Southern Cross, high in the southeast this month, with the pointers Alpha and Beta Centauri below. Simply point one hand at Gamma Crucis at the short end of the cross, and the other at Acina, and bring them together in the middle, and you should be close to this point. Dropping your hands down to the horizon will then give you south. Not far from the southern celestial pole, you may be able to spot two small fuzzy patches of light, easily seen with the naked eye on a dark, moonless night. These are the large and small Magellanic Clouds, two small irregular dwarf galaxies that neighbour our own. Whilst these galaxies are much smaller than the Milky Way, combined they still contain billions of stars. The Large Magellanic Cloud, or LMC, is the higher of the two and is located 160,000 light-years away. Look out for a number of young star clusters, visible as small patches of light in binoculars or a small telescope. Smaller and more distant, at around 200,000 light-years, is the Small Magellanic Cloud, or SMC. A bridge of gas connects the large and small clouds, evidence of tidal interaction between the two. The best time to look out for these galaxies is around the new moon on the 20th of the month, when they will be high in the south after dark. Dominating our northern skies this month is bright Jupiter, setting in the northwest in the early hours of the morning. The moon passes close to Jupiter on both the 3rd and the 30th of the month. Venus also continues to make a brief appearance in our skies this month, low in the west at dusk. At the beginning of the month it will set around an hour after the sun, but by the end this will be around an hour and a half, and by mid-April it will be visible after the end of twilight. Saturn is now rising in the east before midnight, and by the end of March it will be visible by around 10 p.m. It sits just below the claws of Scorpius the Scorpion, our winter constellation in the southern hemisphere. In New Zealand, this constellation is known as Te Mātou o Maui, the fishhook of Maui, that Maui used to pull the great fish out of the ocean that became the North Island of New Zealand. The moon will pass close to Saturn on the 12th of the month. Slightly higher and further towards the south is the orangey-red star Antares, which marks the heart of the scorpion. To Maui, this star is known as Rehua, and represents a drop of blood that Maui pulled from his nose to use as bait. Saturn is a wonderful sight through even a modest small telescope, which will reveal its beautiful rings and its largest moon, Titan. Titan is the second largest moon in the solar system, and is larger in size than the planet Mercury. It is the only moon in our solar system known to retain a substantial atmosphere, and is also the only other body, except Earth, to have bodies of surface liquid. These rivers, lakes and seas are not made of water, which would freeze solid in Titan's minus 180 degrees centigrade temperatures, but are made of liquid methane. Mercury is coming to the end of its best morning appearance of the year this month, rising towards the east by around 5 a.m. at the beginning of March. By the end of the month it will be rising less than an hour before the sun, and will become lost in the morning twilight. It was great to welcome some Northern Hemisphere Jodcast listeners to Carter this month during their travels around New Zealand. If any of our listeners do find their way to Wellington, we'd love you to come and say hello. Wishing you clear skies from the team here at Carter Observatory.